Support for Living on Earth comes from listeners like you. To make a donation, please use the link to the left of this webpage. And thanks.
EPA will also be giving greater scrutiny to atrazine, the widely used herbicide made by the company Syngenta. Living on Earth's Jessica Elise Smith reports the company, scientists, and farmers are all speaking out on just how EPA should conduct its review.
Driving through the Corn Belt in the Midwestern U.S., there's a noticeable uniformity in the fields. Not corn weeds corn, but corn soil corn. These organized rows have much to do with the farmer's heavy reliance on the weed killer, atrazine. About 76 million pounds of atrazine are applied to the U.S. fields each year. To put this in context, I met with one of my former professors, Timothy Griffin, head of the Agriculture, Food, and Environment program at Tufts University. He says farmers use 1 to 2 pounds of atrazine per acre.
If you did really back-of-the-envelope math on that, you're looking at application maybe on 30 million acres. So it's a lot of this particular product being used out on the landscape.
Atrazine's genius, says Griffin, is that it works by blocking a plant's ability to photosynthesize, but only in certain plants considered weeds. Corn is resistant.
Corn actually would take up atrazine just like a weed would, and then it basically detoxifies it immediately.
But this system is not as flawless as it seems. Some scientists worry there may be a link between atrazine and cancer in humans. They're also concerned that the herbicide could have a negative effect on aquatic ecosystems. With so many questions surfacing, the EPA has decided to reassess the chemical. Farmers across the country saw this as an ideal moment to voice an opinion about how the herbicide should be researched and regulated. In a letter to EPA Administrator Lisa Jackson, a coalition of farm groups claimed that past research on atrazine was biased, since much of it was funded by the herbicide's creator, Syngenta. Paul Sobosinski works for the Land Stewardship Project, one of the groups that initiated the letter.
We need more research that's independent, that's not just whatever corporations that's involved in putting a product forward, but we need research that's done more on the public level so that we know what's being used out here.
Sobosinski owns a farm in southwestern Minnesota. He used to use atrazine on his farm until he started reading that the herbicide was found in water sources.
You know, a monitoring program coordinated by US EPA in 2003 and 2005 found that 94 of 136 public water systems had tested concentrations above federal drinking water standards.
Also, a 2006 US Geological Service study of agricultural areas found atrazine present 80% of the time in streams and 40% of the time in groundwater in these regions. Tufts professor Timothy Griffin says atrazine is water-soluble and not held tightly to the soil. So where water moves, atrazine moves. Also, atrazine is a fairly persistent chemical that takes a long time to break down in the environment.
And it's also been in use for a very long time and over a very wide geographical range. So all of those things combined result in a presence of atrazine in water, mostly through the central United States, because that's principally where it's used.
Last year, Syngenta celebrated atrazine's 50th birthday, a date that is significant, says Griffin.
In the 1960s, the EPA didn't exist. It came into existence in the early 1970s. So products that are just being evaluated today are evaluated in a distinctly different way than they would have been 30 to 40 years ago.
But Tim Pastor, a scientist at Syngenta, says there have been many studies on atrazine over its 50-year lifetime, most of which established the chemical's safety.
There's probably 6,000 or so studies that are available on atrazine. With 6,000 studies to rely on, EPA could make a judgment that the product could be re-registered.
But the farm groups contend that most of this research has been funded and conducted by Syngenta. And a Land Stewardship Project report on atrazine shows that the herbicide is largely the reason that Syngenta's profits grew 75% in 2007 and an additional 40% in 2008. So Syngenta has a lot to lose if its product is more stringently regulated. Again, Syngenta scientist Tim Pastor.
Well, you know, I can see why someone would be skeptical on something like that, but the stopgap that's put in place for that, for all registrants, is that you can't do a study unless you can verify every scrap of data.
Pastor says EPA requires corporate research to adhere to strict practices, and he says Syngenta's research is more reliable and complete than peer-reviewed academic research. The company warns that harvest will decline without this product. But farmer Paul Sobosinski says the European Union banned atrazine in 2004 and crop yields are fine.
There's a number of alternatives that are available to farmers, so this is not the end of the world. And they may cost a little more, but when you look at human health, I mean, that's a factor too. If a farmer's health is affected, or if the public health is anyways affected, that's a cost to society. It's a health care cost.
Sobosinski switched to Monsanto's Roundup, an herbicide that some scientists say is less toxic in the environment. As part of atrazine's reassessment, the EPA has assembled a scientific advisory panel to guide the process. Syngenta's Tim Pastor thinks this reevaluation is a waste of taxpayer money.
So what's propelling this is, I think, a lot of activist-driven interest in atrazine. I think they're trying to make a bigger deal out of it than it should. I have to say that atrazine is easily one of the best-studied products on the planet, and as a consequence, we stand behind the science.
The EPA science panel will soon decide how to reevaluate atrazine. The farm groups hope the panel will discredit Syngenta's past research and start over with peer-reviewed, transparent studies. For Living on Earth, I'm Jessica Elise Smith.